Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. Hello, everyone. I just want to say again, every time I come to my own show, I always am so excited about who is in the building, like as if I just got the best guests on earth, and this is one of them. So I would like to introduce the Angela Lucas.
Hello.
Drum roll, please. Can you start by telling our listeners where you're from and how Toledo became your home?
Yes, of course. First of all, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. So I am from East Toledo, proudly, and I was born and raised in Toledo. So been an East Sider most of my life.
I literally thought you weren't from Toledo because I think you came back because of a certain someone. And is that the story?
Like, no.
No? Okay. Okay. So
you're making up stories.
No.
Right?
Okay. No. No, you know what? I remember an old story where I thought, if I'm not mistaken, that you and your husband met in like a club or something.
We did, but it was a local. It was a club. Oh,
okay.
Here.
Okay.
Now, he did live in Atlanta for a little bit. Okay. A little bit. And I went to Atlanta with him for a while. But it was like non-consequential.
Okay. 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 So, no, I didn't make it up. I just didn't remember.
It's just maybe misplaced.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But that's still cool, though.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, when you are local and you meet somebody in those serendipitous ways. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So, you've built businesses, led in public service, and still chose to go back and finish your degree recently. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What was happening internally for you during that season, and how did that experience shape your thoughts and purpose, and as well as your personal growth?
Well, a lot was going through my mind internally at the time. So, you know, it's a lot to juggle three businesses, three kids, a husband, school, all of that. So it was pretty stressful, to say the least, but it was always something that I had promised myself that I would go back and finish. And it was now or never, because there was never going to be a perfect time to do it.
Oh,
so it was just something that I wanted to do for me, and I wanted to hold my own word to myself, and I wanted to make sure that I finished what I started.
And you graduated from UT.
I did,
What'd you get?
So I did a liberal arts degree. I've just kind of put my head down the last couple years. And, you know, most people didn't even know that I was in school because I had only told a handful of people that I was in school. And so when I graduated and, you know, everybody found out that I had graduated, everybody was like, what? Wait, you were in school? Like, we didn't know you were in school. Because for me, I just didn't. I was focused. And when I focus on something, I'm kind of locked in. And I didn't want the questions about, you know, how's it going and all that, even though, you know, it's good intentions. I just wanted to have my head down and finish the thing, right? And I had to be focused on that and not get distracted. So there was a lot over the years while I was in school, having Toe House and all the things that, you know, I missed. I missed a lot of events. I missed a lot of parties. I missed a lot. But that was, you know, that was just what had to be done for me to do what I was doing. And so it's interesting because it was really honestly just something that I did for myself. I wanted to complete what I had started so many years ago, and I wanted my children to see that. And also what came of that was not only the self-satisfaction of finishing, but I had so many women, even in my own circle, that I didn't know that hadn't finished. And they were like, that just inspired me to register, like I'm finishing this thing. Which is always, right, such a blessing when that wasn't even the intention. Now they're like, yeah, I start in the fall, I start in the summer. And I'm just like blown away by that because, you know, I think maybe had I known that so many people had that, you know, on the back burner of their lives, maybe I would have been more public about, hey, I'm in school.
You didn't know.
I didn't know. But yeah, so that's been a really cool experience. And it was amazing to have my children there. to be able to, you know, just witness just a milestone for me. And so, yeah, it was good. And, you know, that's done. And now we move on to other things.
Was there ever a moment you felt like quitting? Like, would it have been
easier? Yeah.
Okay.
You mean just a moment or like a lot of moments?
Maybe a lot of moments. Yeah, I could imagine. So
absolutely.
You say the right room changes everything. Can you take us back to a room that changed you, whether it was a conversation, a table, or a space that shifted how you saw yourself or your future?
Absolutely. I will never forget the room that changed, I think, the trajectory of my life. So I was, you know, just a young girl just trying to make it, just had really big dreams. I knew I wanted to be somehow in public service, maybe not necessarily in politics, but just like, you know, I wanted to be at the table. And I didn't quite know how to do that. And I certainly obviously didn't have the education to just, you know, barge my way into these rooms. But a series of events just worked out. And I found myself, it was the Cherry Street Mission Board. I had actually just walked in and was like, hey, I want to volunteer. And the CEO at the time said, volunteer, why don't you join our board? And I'm like, okay, yeah, you know. And so here I am, I'm walking in, and, you know, at this table, there's, you know, doctors and lawyers and business people and all these people at the table, and then little old me, you know. And so I didn't have a clue what these people were talking about. I was just happy to be there. And, but it was his faith and trust in me. And whatever he saw that I didn't see at the time, you know, he really took the time to mentor me and believe that I was worthy to be at that table. And so I remember my first year on that board, I said basically nothing because I didn't know what, you know, I didn't know what was happening. And we were talking about budgets and finances of the organization and all these different things. And I just took that entire year to just learn everything, like research what they were saying. And I just kind of just took that year to absorb everything I was hearing and understand it and ask questions and things. And then obviously post that, I felt pretty comfortable, it, you know, being there and participating in the conversation. But I do believe that that was the room that changed my life, because I had somebody who believed in me, somebody who gave me the opportunity when nothing about my life or my credentials said I should be at the table. He saw whatever he saw and he put me at the table. And I learned a ton from that I could probably spend this entire episode talking about, but I won't.
We would love it, but yeah, we're on a time.
And so, yeah, that was absolutely the room that changed my life.
You've worked inside city government and now shaped the city through entrepreneurship and real estate. How did your time in public service change how you approach leadership and responsibility?
First of all, I learned the importance and the power of being somebody who was trustworthy. When I was in that position, I was privy to a lot of conversations and a lot of things happening in the city. And I just learned just the power of being a trustworthy person and being a person that people could depend on, that being someone who would show up when someone was needed. And so that kind of just shaped my leadership after that, because at that point, I really was in a room with the leaders of the leaders, right? And mm-hmm. So I learned a ton from that experience. And so I do think that it absolutely helped me in leadership. Just the things that I learned, but mostly I learned a lot of character traits that I think that are just invaluable and things that I always now teach when I'm teaching about leadership. And so, yeah, it shaped me a ton.
That is a really cool answer. That's a really cool answer, because I'm like, dang, you learn how to basically keep secrets.
I mean, listen, I know a few things.
I got you. You are the co-owner and co-founder of Toll House and Earth with your husband, Will Lucas. I've been a proud Toll House member. I don't know what else to say other than for those who have been there, we know it's a vibe. But when you created those spaces, what did you hope that guests would think when they enter or feel when they entered? And is that the reason why you built that space?
Absolutely. So we do love to hear it's a vibe because we're hoping to create a vibe. But yeah, we wanted it to spark, you know, creativity and inspiration and, you know, just can do it type of mentality, you know. And so we always hope that it would help change the narrative of Toledo from, oh, we can never have something like that. This is Toledo, or, you know, only big cities can do this or whatever. We hoped that the narrative would help, would be changed in some small part. Because it is a space where you walk in and you feel inspired and creative. And I always say Toll House is a mirror. It's like, it doesn't, Toll House is not to show you Will and Angela. Toll House is to show you you. So when you walk in there, you're like, yeah, if they did it, I can do it too, right? Like, mm-hmm. if they followed their dreams, if they had this imagination, this thought, and they just followed it all the way to the end, what would happen if I did that?
And I want to speak on, like, this is like totally veering off, but I want to speak on the philanthropy aspect of that business, because you guys told people, I know you think this is an expensive place and you can't get in there, but we will help you. And so I just want to put that out there. I'm not going to explain exactly what that means, but you know, you do give back to your community.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was never designed to be exclusive in that way that someone who couldn't afford it couldn't participate, couldn't be a member. That was never our intention. What we say is, you know, if you are additive to the community, if you are helping propel Toledo in the direction that we all want it to go in, then you should absolutely be a member, whether you can afford to be a member or not. So it is not about the money. There are people who apply for membership who can pay the entire year up front and they're not accepted. And then there are people who can't afford who are accepted, right? And then there's a mix of both. And so, again, because the purpose is to create an ecosystem there, it is to create community. And so you have to be additive to the community. You have to love Toledo. And that's really what it's about.
When I saw Will post something that was like promoting community mm-hmm. togetherness, mm-hmm. I was like, see, that's what it's about.
Yeah. It's all about community. Absolutely.
Through your organization, Made with Purpose, you work closely with women who are searching for clarity and alignment. What patterns do you see showing up again and again for women who look successful but feel disconnected? What are the women afraid to say out loud in those rooms?
I think that they need support, you know, and so it, you know, we wear a lot of hats as women. You know that. We talked about that before the show started. We do a lot. And we need support. We need community. And so I think that that's one of the biggest things as women in general that we are lacking is that support, that community, that, you know, I got you. Do you want me to pick your kids up because you're running late from work or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that most women are really, you know, desiring that. And I know I always did. And so I'm just trying to help create that and foster that.
And the second part of what I said was, what are women afraid to say out loud in these rooms?
Well, I'm not really sure, to be honest, what they're afraid to say out loud in the room.
I think, you know, from talking to me like millions of times, what I used to be afraid to say out loud, what would you say that was?
Oh, I don't know. But what I will say is that I think women in general are afraid of their power. I think that they know they have some power, they recognize it, but they're afraid to walk in it because they don't know what that's going to look like.
That's true.
Yeah.
I can relate to that because I say all the time to myself that I'm my only and worst enemy. I don't think I have really that much opposition that I could say can take me down, but except my mind. So definitely always need that encouragement.
Yeah. I think that's true for all of us.
Mm-hmm. What is one belief you constantly have to help women unlearn?
Yeah, I think just what we just talked about. They need to, you know, not them, because myself included, we need to unlearn helplessness, I think. I think there's a level of power that we really do have that we have to decide to walk in. And I think once we decide to do it, we'll be unstoppable.
You know, my ex used to call that The victim mentality. Mm. Gotta let it go.
Gotta let it go.
How do you decide when to advocate, when to collaborate, and when to disrupt?
When either of those things are necessary.
Feel that.
Yeah.
You sound like make that simple.
Yeah. I think you have to look at the situation. What does the situation call for? Whatever it calls for, that's what you do.
Okay. One thing I love about you is that you are a dedicated mother to your three wonderful children. How you balance the motherhood with everything else. What is your thing to like calm yourself? What do you do when you want to chill?
I love to read. Actually, okay. I love to read. And so I always have a book that I'm reading.
Usually. What's your latest book?
I'm reading right now The God of the Woods, which is like kind of like a thriller.
Okay.
And it's interesting. It's very good. But yeah, I'm generally, you know, I am pretty much like a homebody.
Okay.
And I... Like people would call me like an old lady, right? Because okay. I like all old lady stuff.
Even though you don't look nothing like an old lady.
Well, thank you.
You look very young.
Thank you. But I love like a cup of tea, a good book. I love a British show.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in heaven then. Okay. Like I'm just, you know, so that's what I do.
So you and your husband have built like businesses, spaces, all that together. What has building with your spouse taught you about trust, communication, and shared vision? What are healthy boundaries that you have learned as you walk alongside your spouse?
Yeah, well, I think building with your spouse, it reminds me of that saying, and I hope I don't mess it up, is that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Ooh.
And it reminds me of that because together, you know, there's so much power in unity and there's so much power in two people with the same vision going in the same direction. So I think that that part is really powerful. And that's what I've seen from that. And then you have that built in support, right? When things get really tough, you mm-hmm. have somebody who understands how tough it really is. Now, on the flip side of that, we're absolutely human. And, you know, we're like, okay, maybe I need to go over here for a minute and you go over there because we don't always agree and we don't always get along. But I think at the end of the day, it works because we have the same vision and the same mission and we're walking in the same direction. And so, yeah, I think that's what is so powerful about that. But I've also learned, you know, I've learned compromise because, you know, sometimes I might think I have a great idea and I'm really set in stone on that idea. And for whatever reason, he may be like, well, that won't work, you know. So then we have to find a space in the middle where we can, you know, agree on. So it's a lot of compromise. It's fun, though. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you've even raised your kids in it, too.
We have raised our kids. You know, I was so worried about them when they were coming up because, you know, when we bought, first of all, you know, all they have ever known is us as entrepreneurs. They remember me working in Government Center, but that was a small stint of their lives. But for the most part, they've seen us as entrepreneurs. And so, you know, they've been right by our side. And, you know, when we were building Toll House, when it was just this big, you know, 25,000 square foot warehouse, literally, that really hadn't been touched in a very long time.
Could you they can see imagine. The vision? Could they
no,
see?
No.
And, how old were they?
You know, I think Sophie might have been maybe 10, 11, but I remember, you know, when we brought them to the building after we bought the building. We were so excited and we were like, we got to show you guys what we did. And so we take all three kids in and the little two were much younger than that. And we walk in and we just show them. And mind you, Will and I have the vision in our heads. So we're not seeing what they're seeing. And so, but their little minds, I mean, Sophie just started crying. She literally started crying. She was like, why would you do this? You know,
at that age?
Yes. What is this?
So funny.
Because she saw just what she saw.
A big empty building.
A big empty building with trash and so much wrong with it. And like, are my parents crazy?
Can we update to the future? How does she feel now? How does your daughter?
Well, I hope that, okay. You know.
You should ask her today.
She's a teenager. She's not going to say
she's
anything
probably
nice
say,
right
really
now.
I really don't care.
You know, yeah.
We're
right?
going to talk about that too.
She's not impressed about anything we do, let me just tell you that she's a full-on teenager.
Oh, please. And so, I got so many stories.
Maybe later in their lives, they'll be oh, okay, my parents actually weren't crazy. And, you know.
And speaking of entrepreneurs, what advice would you give to other entrepreneurs that feel pressure to compromise their values or their beliefs as far as like what they want to do?
Don't do it.
0%.
0%.
I love when you like have them straight answers. Like, I don't even want to elaborate on that one. Just don't let them sway you.
Yeah.
How do you want Toledo to be different because you are here in it?
Well, I hope that Toledo continue. First of all, I'm really excited about what's happening in Toledo. Let me just say that because there's so much happening in Toledo. And like Toledo has been experiencing a renaissance for a very long time now. And I think it's really exciting to see. So I hope that my part to play in this is just continuing to help with that effort, to continuing to invest in Toledo and just do the best I can while I'm here, you know, do well with what I have and be the change I want to see, which is what we're trying to do. So we just are happy to be participants in that. But like, as with anything, it's not one singular person or it's not one singular business. Like, there is so much investment happening in Toledo. There are so many companies coming. Look at what the Metro Parks is doing. I mean, I could go on and on. And so it's like collectively we are all coming together and doing this thing. And that's where the power is. It's in that collectiveness. And so I'm excited that we just are like at the table. You know what I mean? And so... yeah, I'm thrilled for what's happening.
I feel like the world is watching.
Yeah. You know, I think it's our time. I think that it's our time. And I think that we deserve everything that's happening now. We've, you know, I think people have been sleeping on us for a very long time. And I think now people are going to be like, oh, what are they doing in Toledo? Like, what's happening there? I keep hearing Toledo, you know. And so, you know, I just encourage people to get on that wave. You know, support the local businesses, support your Metro Parks, support the community, and, you know, and get involved. And like that will truly create the Toledo we all want to live in.
I totally agree with that. And on that note, I am just so grateful that I got here today because you were another one that I was chasing for a long time. And we finally got some time.
I'm glad we did.
So thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.